I'd like to take just a few minutes this evening to read and share with you. I'm going to read from Job chapter 38. Many of you are familiar with this passage. It seems appropriate in light of what Christ did coming here. In chapter 38 of Job, it says, "And the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? Who supports its foundations and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst forth from the womb? As I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in a thick darkness. For I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. And I said, thus far and no farther will you come. Here your proud ways must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear, Job, and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made the daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like a clay pressed beneath a seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in violence. Have you ever explored the springs from which the seas come? Have you explored the depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know. Where does the light come from and where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course you know all of this, for you were born before it was created, and you are so very experienced." Turning to Hebrews 1, it says, "Long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in the final days, he has spoken to us through his Son." Certainly as we sit here tonight, gang, it's no secret that we are living in a time of great communication. Mankind seems to be just passionately communicating. Obsessed even, I think. We have our cell phones and our emails and our texting and Skyping and tweeting, and then the list goes on and on. Our personal worlds today, I think, are very, very loud, even here in Dunn County. Yet it seems that for all of our communique, we seem at the same time to be strikingly lonely. And honestly, it seems like most of the time, humanity just seems lost. Yet the world that God has designed is thus so for us to hear from God and then to communicate that message back out into the world. We are called to manifest within the faith community that we belong to all that God is speaking to us. Because tonight we have a God who speaks. And he does, believe it or not, so very loudly. Not merely to direct or to teach us or to correct us, but to relate to us. And he has, from the days of creation, made a great, great effort to reveal himself. I wonder tonight if we really can grasp the distance between God and man, because it is, naturally speaking, in every way, a distance beyond what we can fathom. Thus, God has taken incredibly great strides in order to proclaim and to publish and generally relate his presence and his plan. It's something we take so for granted. that God is there and God is communicating. But if we really understood the magnitude of the distance between us and God and between humanity and deity, we would just stand in awe that the line is even open tonight. But we worship a God this evening that is a God of revelation. Right from Genesis 1, we see it 10 times in that chapter. It's recorded those words, God said. God said. Jehovah God of Scripture is a God who speaks, and he is still speaking. I wonder tonight, though, are we listening? Because unless he is talking and we are indeed hearing, then truthfully, we are left into the dark like the rest of humanity, simply looking for the light switch and guessing which way it is to the door. And we would be left the saddest of all the species because we would be left with nothing more than just mere speculation. Our best guess, if you will, or maybe the most comfortable run as to what our God is like and what he wants us to believe and how he wants us to behave. Now that speculation certainly is going on this evening. That speculation generally revolves around human philosophy and around human spirituality and religion and all the social sciences. And all of which are essentially man's effort to take a stab at who God really is and what God is really like. All of this thing tonight that we call Christmas comes from two words, Christ and Mass, or Jesus, communion. Communion with the Son of God, Christmas. And in that, there is a deep and purposeful and meaningful connection with God, all with the flesh of humanity. The lengths, again, that God took to make that happen, it's staggering to the mind and staggering to our understanding. And the more I look into it as my years go on, the more amazed I am at the lengths that he went to communicate with us. I mean, he could have went about it any way that he wanted or any way that we could even imagine, because he's God and he has the power and he has the freedom to do what he wants to do. Firstly, he manifested himself in nature, and we know it, speaking volumes concerning his character and his priorities and his personality, if you will. Romans 1:20 says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature." So they have no excuse for not knowing God. And then, so we wouldn't lose all the details, God wrote a book and he sent us a copy. And if you are a student of that book, you know it is an amazing autobiography. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us in this, he has illuminated himself, shed light upon his abilities, and he says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And then there was, then and now, God's still small voice. And that's all about, I guess we could call, minding the checks, quote unquote, in our spirit, listening to that still small voice. We are made in the image of God. And tonight, those of us that have confessed Jesus and we follow him as Lord and Savior, his spirit comes to live inside of us. And our lives attest to that reality. And we are thereafter hardwired to the corporate headquarters. And we communicate then over that spiritual intercom system for the rest of our lives. And that's something for those of us that know him tonight would not trade for anything in the world. And then even after all of these things, he inexplicably took the extreme path of a home visit. Because apparently, despite his overt attempts to talk to us, the message still wasn't getting through with any regularity, consistency, or clarity. Because our hearts were wicked and we kept turning away from him. He sent prophets, he sent signs and wonders, and he even sent some well-noted pain, if you're a student of the word. But even all of that came to no avail. So God spoke, and he spoke, and he spoke some more. And we didn't hear, but it certainly wasn't for the lack of his trying. You see, I think the problem, both then and even now, tonight, as we are here, is that so oftentimes we're just not really listening. After all, we're so busy. We got stuff going on. Our cell phones are ringing and texting and the computers are running and the kids are yelling and the dog's barking and the spouse is talking, the TV's running and the radio in the car is running, and it just is never, well, quiet. I wonder how many missed calls there has been so far for you. Calls that were communiques concerning our life. Stuff like job recommendations, parenting directions, and financial advice, and needs of friends and needs of acquaintances. General warnings, maybe just simply statements about our general surroundings, like God trying to tell us, hey, isn't that an awesome sunset I did? Did you see that? It was so cool. I wanted you to see it. I mean, we mean well. We try to hear him. But I wonder if the problem is that we are straining to hear a still small voice over the volume of noise instead of actually turning the noise down. Because, you know, it's been my experience that God never shouts. I wonder if we're constantly saying, what? To God. But that is merely adding God, you see, to our life instead of making him our priority. And Christian, we here in America need to wake up to that reality. That we are trying so very hard to find a place for God in our lives. And we're kind of cleaning the cupboards and moving things around on the shelves and kind of moving things around on the carpet in the living room. And we're trying to find a place for Jesus in our lives. And we'll stand him over here on a corner and we'll let him have a piece of our lives. And we'll include him in all the stuff we're doing. And that's called the American version of Christianity. But listen to me, Christian, that's not Christianity. That's religion. And we wonder why people are leaving the church. We wonder why people are leaving Christianity. Because it has no power anymore. Because we're just seeking a place for God in our lives instead of giving our lives to him. In all aspects. Sometimes, many times, we must physically and purposely run and hide to make that quiet happen. We must consciously and purposely slow our lives down and live simply, uncomplicated. That, no doubt, takes discipline, takes great effort, and the ability to say no. And when we do not, we are inexplicably lost in plain sight. Lost in plain sight. The crowd noise is just too loud to hear the coach's calls.